look who's here. It's Fish Fry. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton, as always. And this here is your weekly electronic engineering podcast brought to you by the nerdy folks at eejournal.com. All right, how about you and me play a little game? It's kind of like life. You remember that one? You got your little car full of those weird little plastic pegs that never quite stay put. You spin that clickety-clack multicolored wheel. Yes, but this one, it's called Your Next Design. All one word, all caps, of course. It'll seem eerily similar. Everything is going great in the first few steps. That algorithm section? No problem. Simulation slide? Smooth sailing. Synthesis switchbacks glide right on through there. The layout bend, yes, you had to stay there for a couple spins, but that's normal, right? And you didn't even land on the boss disagrees with your last timing analysis, go directly to the start, do not collect $200 spot. Wait, that's the wrong game. Anyway, it's this last stretch, verification land, that gets you every time. Well, you and me both, my friend. But we all know that this game, well, it's really no game at all. It's our career we're talking about here. So this week we're looking at that sometimes painful point in our project process called verification. My first guest is Tom Anderson of Brecker Verification Systems. And we're going to talk about Brecker's new verification technology, Trek SoC Psi. Spoiler alert, this is not a Star Trek transport system, just FYI. And I also want to know about somebody's vinyl collection. I'm not saying who. My guest today is Tom Anderson, Vice President Marketing at Brecker. Thank you so much for joining me today, Tom.
Thank you, Amelia. It's great to be here and nice to talk to you again.
So it's been a little while since I've had you guys on the show. What's new with Brecker for 2014?
I think for us, of course, as with any small company, it's just growing the customer base. That's increasing usage within our current customers and adding new customers. But our case is also expanding our product line. So we've actually expanded. As of last fall, we announced a new product and have another one in the works that will be announced probably by DAC timeframe. Are seeing ways to apply our technology in new directions for new applications in the verification space.
So let's talk about that newly launched Trek SoC Si. What does it do?
So this is a variation on our flagship product, Trek SoC, which, as you may recall, generates C-test cases as you run in your embedded processors in your chip. And that initial product focused on simulation. So the idea is you had an existing test bench, you had test bench components you could connect to, and so as the programs run inside the processors, they're communicating with the test bench, communicating with the I/O pads. That works great in software simulation. It works very well in a high-level virtual prototype, ESL kind of model. And it'll work in acceleration where you still have a test bench. As soon as you move to a hardware platform, that would be in-circuit emulation, FPGA prototyping, or the actual silicon, you no longer have easy access to the I/O pins. So what you really want to do then is have a program that's optimized on running internal tests in the chip and running many more of them because, of course, the speed is so much faster. So that's where Trek SoC Si comes in. The Si stands for silicon. It's the idea that you're running either in the actual chip itself or in a representation of it in the form of a prototype or an in-circuit emulation system.
Cool. So, Tom, somebody told me you have a quite extensive record collection. I know it's coming back into style. Tell me more about that.
In the distant past, I had a life as a DJ back in high school and college days, so I started collecting music back then. Still do. I still don't buy a lot of vinyl these days, but if it's something that never made it on CD or it's some just interesting gap in my collection to fill, I still do that. So the people that follow me on Twitter know I do a song of the day almost every day, and usually something pretty obscure that I happen to be listening to that night. So it's fun. I enjoy it. It's a great avocation.
Do you have any idea how many you have? Do you have a rough estimation?
Old vinyl, it's 7,000 plus or minus probably. It's basically a wall's worth.
Awesome. Well, I think that's all I have time for today, and I'm going to check out your Twitter feed. That's really cool. Thank you so much for joining me again, Tom. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Likewise. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next show.
Next up in this verification game of chance, wait, that sounds kind of bad. Maybe it's more like this verification game of life. Shoot, I used that one already. How about this verification game of Parcheesi? Okay. My next guest is Vignan Singhal, CEO of Oski Technology. Oski is new to these fish frying waters, so let's be nice now. Yes, you in the back, you as well. I can see you.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Amelia.
So first off, since you guys haven't been on my show before, tell me, what does Oski do?
Well, at the core of it, we solve hard problems. So we're a bunch of engineers and we work on different kinds of designs across industry, different customers, doing different chip graphics, networking, systems on chips, and find hard problems and solve the problems, usually verification problems. And the things we are specialized is in formal verification, which is a class of verification which is extremely powerful, but you need to know what works, what doesn't work, and be able to use it the right way. Because if you don't, then the exponential hits you and takes forever.
Oski recently hosted the second Decoding Formal Club. Now, tell me more about that. What are you guys hoping to accomplish?
Well, it's something we've been thinking on for a while, but eventually we have marketing team, Jin and Pippa, in our company, and they initiated the effort to start that. The thing is, formal is so different in the way it works, and in the way, especially in the way it does not work, that you can set it up and the tool never finishes, no tool finishes. Yeah. And you can wait for an hour, overnight, over the weekend, over a week, and it's going to be the same place where it was. And the way you work around that is go sit back and think about the problem differently, change the problem for the tool. And once you do that, it's extremely powerful. So what the club is about and what the effort is about is getting a set of enthusiasts across different companies from the Bay Area, many of them competing against each other, and get them in the same room and start talking about what kind of techniques they're using, what's working for us, how we're using formal for sign-off, which is very new and different because a lot of people have been using formal to verify some things. But what we are doing differently is some people using formal to verify everything in some parts of the design. And that's a very new concept because now people are starting to depend on formal. And so using formal for sign-off is extremely new. And that's what all of these guys want to talk about, hear about what makes it work. I mean, what are the techniques and what are the methods they can learn and pick up?
So I heard that Oski has a very interesting origin about its name. Do tell me about that.
Well, I hope nobody from Stanford is hearing this, but but it's the name of the University of California mascot, the Golden Bear, and it's the bear which fights the other mascots in the football games and stuff. And picked the name because, I mean, I went to Cal, I got my PhD from Cal. My advisors, Sanjivani and Bob Brayton, worked in many different EDA companies and really well known in the industry. So
I love it. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Amelia.
And now it's time for a little news you may have missed. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but one technology has changed my life beyond compare. One tech to rule them all, if you will. My smartphone? Yes, but not quite. My tablet computer? Ooh, close, but no cigar. My robot personal assistant named Clara, who even does Windows? I made that last one up. But for real? Streaming television. Seriously, game times? Who cares? Commercials? Are you kidding me? And let's not even talk about missing your favorite show just because you happen to be still on the school bus in traffic and you miss it every day, even though you technically should be home in plenty of time. I'm sorry. A little post-traumatic television disorder rearing its ugly head. But what if this streaming television technology knew what you wanted to watch before you did? Sounds kind of creepy and cool, doesn't it? Well, Netflix is working on this very thing. It's true. Here's the deal. Netflix is getting into the deep learning game. Deep learning is, well, you could think of it like artificial intelligence's first cousin. Deep learning attempts to solve some seriously important questions, like what movies you want to watch, by mimicking the structure and behavior of the human brain. Now, yes, I know, Netflix is certainly not the first company to start work on deep learning projects. Facebook, Microsoft, Google have all gotten on this deep learning bandwagon. But what Netflix is doing is slightly different. They are planning on running their deep learning algorithms on Amazon's cloud service, instead of building their own hardware infrastructures like the other guys. Yes. I didn't even know that I wanted to buy that Star Wars robotic kit on Amazon Prime. Weird. If you want to read any more about this super cool deep learning stuff, even if it is a tad disconcerting, check out the links under the Fish Fry and Player on this week's page. I've also got a link that will take you to a blog entitled Distributed Neural Networks with GPUs in the AWS Cloud. Really, what more could you want? All right, Fish Fry Pop Quiz time. One word. Suricata. Did you say High Performance Network IDS, IPS, and Network Security Monitoring Engine owned by a community-run nonprofit foundation, the Open Information Security Foundation? Yeah, I thought you did. But have you ever thought about using FPGAs to accelerate open-source security algorithms written in OpenCL? I thought not. Gotcha. Well, you should check out the recently hot off the virtual presses episode of my Chalk Talk series entitled Accelerating Open Source Security Using OpenCL and Altera FPGAs. In this episode, I sit down with Ryan Kenny of Altera to talk about FPGAs, open source, OpenCL, Suricata, and more. You can check out this super cool new episode of Chalk Talk by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, by heading on over to the on-demand section of eejournal.com, or by heading on over to YouTube, keyword eejournal. Heck, you can even watch it on your smartphone. I'm just saying. And now it's time for my EE Journal social media message. If you haven't gotten around to liking us on Facebook, come on, do it. If just for me. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. You can also check out our tweets at EEJournalTFM and join our circle on Google+. Oh yes, and that YouTube channel we have is chocked full of techie awesomeness, including the Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly, and by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page. You can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, I love that stuff, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of February 21st, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.